Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So at lunchtime today, the government will unveil its summer economic statement, and with an election in sight, the newly installed Finance Minister Jack Chambers and Public Expenditure Minister Pascal Donoghue have already been inundated with shopping lists from their cabinet colleagues proposing to spend our recent bumper corporation tax yields. But the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council continues to warn that the economy is already strong and that big spending now will not deliver value for money. Well, I'm joined by the Acting Chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, Professor Michael McMahon. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
The political calculus here seems very clear. Either the government spends our money now or risks losing public support and leaving a treasure chest for whichever party or parties replace them.
I mean, our messaging has not changed in many months and is consistent with many other bodies, and that is that the Irish economy is performing well. It's not an economy that needs a sort of very loose budgetary policy. There are clearly areas that require some support or areas that require investment, and those are choices that should be made by the elected government. But trying to do everything now, the tax cuts, current spending increases, ramping up capital spending, can risk adding to the price pressures, which we've, you know, again, as the Taoiseach just said in your clip on the news, inflation is thankfully coming down from recent highs, but prices haven't fallen and domestic sort of cost pressures remain elevated. So the message is really to try and make these choices. I don't think it's a case of, oh, we have it, so we have to spend it. Ireland has a sort of history with that type of policy. And while it's great when things are going well, it's hugely costly when the economy turns down, or in Ireland's case, if we were to suddenly have sector-specific shocks and lose a lot of our corporate tax revenue, which is incredibly highly concentrated. So we have a message of prudence, as we've had for many, many months now.
And your job is to remind all of us, the politicians and the people who vote for them, to remember what the financial crisis was like. Is that what you see your role as being, at least in part?
In part, yeah, that was always the joke of one of the TDs who we reported to on the Budget Oversight Committee, that we institutionalised the memory of the austerity that followed the financial crisis. Obviously, we have very specific assessment roles to do and endorsement roles to do, but that's a big picture thing. The money right now is very high from corporate taxes and other taxes, but this is very concentrated. And while we really hope it doesn't come, you know, soon, a slowdown in that amount of tax revenue, saving that money now, in particular, putting it into these things like the Future Ireland Fund, which we welcome the government has established, could help put these receipts away, not for the next government, but actually for future challenges, which we know are coming. Another part of your news briefing was about the climate development. Climate transition is a huge challenge, which is going to start to really affect fiscal choices in the next 5 to 10 years. We also have an aging population. That is coming. We know it's coming. It's taking small actions now and allowing them to build over time could really put governments of the future, and I'm not talking 5 years, I'm talking 10, 15, 20 years into the future, in a much better position and not having to make really severe choices that would mimic the austerity of the post-financial crisis.
But do you accept the political jeopardy here that these politicians who are making these decisions face? That really you're at a moment in the electoral cycle where you are expected, if you have very full coffers, to spend it, to make people feel better, to make their lives better?
I mean, it is really our job on the council to ignore the politics and think about what's right for the economy and right for the sustainability of Irish fiscal policy. It is, of course, right that it's democratically elected politicians who have to make these choices. But I don't think, given the recent, you know, memories of what austerity can look like, that this idea of we have money, we should spend it is not what economists certainly think is a sensible approach to the fiscal position.
Mm-hmm. You've singled out health as well. I mean, you mentioned climate earlier, but health spending overruns. How significant are those in terms of overall government spending? How worried are you at IFAC about it?
Yeah, I mean, we've called it, so it's clearly an area where we're already seeing the pressures of our population aging. We see increased challenges for the health budget. We've had overruns most years, but this year we've had half of the year already, and the overrun is at a level that we've never really seen before. Part of this is predictable because they didn't include last year's overruns in the budgetary numbers. So in a way, they didn't start from 2023's level of spending, and the pressures are expected to grow with higher prices and wage costs, but also the aging population putting more demands on the health system. So there's clearly an issue there, and you know, getting on top of that on budgeting appropriately for that sector is something that we definitely would welcome from the summer economic statement and ultimately the budget.
So if you're going to spend, that's really where you need to spend it, to fix that, to fix the overrun so that you're not carrying it year into year.
It's not just there, though. I mean, we've highlighted many times, and your listeners will be well aware of this, there are clear infrastructure deficits in Ireland. You know, housing is an obvious one. But again, not everything on the housing side has to be public spending. It can also be changes that allow the private sector to expand the amount of housing. But other areas, investment in schools, investment in roads, investment in the climate transition, there are lots of demands on the use of money, but getting value for money with, say, infrastructure at a time when our construction sector is incredibly tight, we don't have an abundance of workers to suddenly do these projects. This is why we say it requires tough choices.
So are you saying that it is a wise decision? Because the government will argue that investment now will save us in the long term. So when you look at climate action, things like wind farms, which could lower our dependence on imported gas, and we have seen the impact this morning in the EPA report on our emissions through investment in solar and wind, that those things can be beneficial in the long term. Are you advocating spending?
So we have always advocated, you know, the National Development Plan, which came in a few years ago and is a sort of a large and comprehensive approach to try and itemize and prioritize which areas investment needs to go into. The challenge getting value for money right now is that, you know, the same people you want to build the houses might be the same people you want to build the roads or to build the wind farms. Now, if we can expand that capacity, or there's an opportunity to get these, you know, wind farms sort of imported without putting extra domestic pressure on the construction sector, then absolutely this would be fantastic investment. But the problem is doing it all at once, the everything now approach, is very difficult and does risk overheating the economy and keeping price pressures elevated.
Mm-hmm. What about the two strategic investment funds that the government has previously announced? What's your assessment of those funds?
Yeah, we called for those for many years in advance. That we think they're a very good way to sort of start putting away what is some of the corporate tax that we're getting now reflects activity in Ireland by Irish domestic and multinational firms. Some of it reflects firms that really are not active very much in Ireland in terms of their day-to-day business. And this money we think of as sort of excess or a windfall that could disappear quite quickly, particularly because it's heavily concentrated in certain sectors, particularly tech, if you think about that. So we worry a lot about that revenue concentration and the risks that we face from, say, in some cases, even single firm decisions could massively hit the fiscal books. So when you have this money, much like, say, the country of Norway, when they had their oil reserves, putting that money away and establishing a large fund that will generate incomes that you then use for fiscal spending is a really clever way to do it. And we really welcome that the government does it. Now, what we need to see is that while corporate tax revenues remain high, they put sufficient amounts away that these funds get big and actually are then able to make a big difference to these challenges of climate and an aging population mm-hmm. in the future.
Yeah, because you could be cynical about it and say, well, it makes the government look prudent, but unless those funds are properly funded, they're not going to do the job that they are intended to do.
That's right. And again, you're not trying to build the fund up immediately in one go, but, you know, we have forecasts of a reasonably strong economy this year, next year, in the future. getting as much of that excess corporation tax into them would give them a really great start. And, you know, 10 years down the road with growth in the investments, these could be a really significant source of funds for future governments. And again, coming at a time when we're going to have really significant challenges on the ageing and the climate change side.
Now, you mentioned there the excess money that could disappear coming into our corporation tax funds. And we have seen reports in recent days that Microsoft transferred $300 billion from Ireland back to the US since 2018. This is following changes to the US tax code made by Donald Trump. Is that what you're talking about? That we could just see more of that and that could leave us in big trouble if we are reliant on that fund for day-to-day spending?
Exactly. And you know, when you have an establishment in Ireland that is, you know, a big factory and all your capital machines and all those sort of things, that's much harder to move quickly. But some of the tax revenue that Ireland gets now is off what's called intangible assets. And these can be transferred at the sort of stroke of a pen when you transfer ownership from a company based in Ireland to a company based somewhere else. So absolutely, that could disappear. But more than that, like, you know, there are certain companies. So we estimated that in 2022, a big chunk of 43% of the corporate tax came from just three corporate entities. So you're talking about one firm making a decision and having a big effect. Or, you know, I'm old enough to remember a time when we didn't talk about Googling something, but, you know, you'd use Yahoo. So companies' positions can change. And if you know, competitive pressures hit some of these companies and they, you know, their position ends up weakening, then we also get hit by that. And it there's a double whammy, because a lot of the high earners that pay into the income tax system are also in that sector. So we would not only lose the corporate tax, but potentially, if there was a big tech downturn, we would lose a lot of income tax revenue as well. So when we talk about sort of revenue that's at risk, you have to think about both the corporate tax and the income tax that could disappear. And that just basically means Ireland is exposed. And the right way to sort of deal with that is to make prudent decisions when things are going really well, like they are now, and long may it continue. But equally, you know, if you make those decisions in the good times, then the bad times, when they eventually come, don't have to be so bad.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens later on today when Jack Chambers delivers that summer economic statement, expected this afternoon. But for now, Professor Michael McMahon, who's acting chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, thank you for joining us.